Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So let's spend it living and not just going through the motions. Sometimes we need to take a fresh new look at things in order to expand our horizons. This is Spiritual Awakenings, the show that shines a light on your pathway, leading you to a more fulfilled life. I'm your host, Drew Pillow. Join me. I like to let the music play all the way out. I'm so special, right? Hi, good afternoon. It's Sunday. It's 5 o'clock Eastern Time, and that means that it's time for Spiritual Awakenings. This is a cool show where cool people join me in the virtual studio, and we talk about amazing things, and we occasionally open up the phone lines to very special callers like you to get a, you know, ask a few questions of our talented healers that are the regulars on this show. And they are Mandy Elam. Mandy Elam, who is a healer and a spiritual coach who specializes in the divine feminine, and she is a really nice person, and she is here right now. Hi, Mandy.
Nice to meet you.
Whoop, whoop. I specialize in the nothing, the divine nothingness. Ooh, that's going to be my tagline. And we also have in the virtual studio a woman who is a healer and a psychic and a medium and a massage therapist and a hypnotherapist and a partridge in a pear tree. It's Jenny McDaniel. Hey. You're not a partridge in a pear tree.
Hey, Drew.
Hi,
how you
Jenny.
Doing? Hey there.
You're
how's
not,
it going?
You're not a partridge. I'm good. You just have so many. I didn't even mention all the stuff that you are. It's just, you just have so many talents. So today
yeah,
we're going to talk about something.
Too.
Yeah, because you just keep just expanding and growing and, you know, building more and more ways to serve and help people, right?
Yep.
You just want to be a one-stop shop of helping the world.
I do. So, I like to do just about everything, but if you got a broken bone, go to the emergency room. That's what I don't do. Blood and bones being broken.
Oh, I don't like blood at all. Yeah.
Mm.
So what because healers are like some really special people. I mean, you really have to want to help people. You know, you have to, there has to be something inside of you. Like, I mean, I don't know what your process is, but, and this is directed to both of you, like, what got you guys started in the area of healing and helping other people? Is just wake up one day and say, I want to help somebody.
For me, it
was,
sure, yeah. This is Mandy. For me, it's just something that's always been there. Ever since I was a kid, like, I don't know, I couldn't put a name on it. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I just knew that I wanted to help people in some way or somehow. I used to have like visions of myself as like a preacher or something. And that didn't make sense to me because I didn't identify with any particular religion. And then now as I've gone through a lot of spiritual awakening and, gathered with a lot of women and understood a lot more, I'm more in like, I guess with my divine feminine essence, I work more in like a high priestess realm now, which is really cool and it's exciting. And for me, it's just healing kind of found me, and I always did anything I could to help people. Even you guys were talking about how you didn't like, you know, blood and stuff like that. I was always like a first responder and a lifeguard and all that good stuff growing up. I worked for the Red Cross for a long time. So, I don't know, always just wanted to help, and it was always there, and I always listened to it for the most part.
Oh, that's cool.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. What about
and,
you, Jane?
It was similar for me. I always knew that I was different and interested in topics that weren't talked about, and I didn't have the terminology either, because when you're 8, 9, 10, and people don't speak this language around you, which my parents didn't, they were just, you know, middle class, middle American, Michigan people, and I didn't have the terminology, but I always was really sensitive to, like, energies, and I was fascinated with ghost stories and how that could be and what these ghosts were doing and where they were residing, and I was really interested beyond like the fright of it that most people like about ghost stories. I was intrigued on just the dimensions and how they were different. And again, I didn't know how to call that. I just knew I was really interested. And I remember being about 10 years old and saying to my mom, can I go see a psychic? And she's like, get out of here with that. You know, no, what do you want to go see a psychic for? And I was just always interested in it. And it was, you know, I remember at one point, not only did I want to be a flight attendant when I was young, but I also wanted to be a psychic, a professional psychic. And so here I am, and I got to do that, but I just didn't know what that would entail. And you know, I really kind of woke up around 8 when I started to see how I had died in a couple past lives and how I carried through some residual energy about that. The blood that I'm fearful of, or broken bones, or that medical care, my spirit guide showed me several times past lives where I was literally on a bloody war field wrapping people's missing limbs up with, like, gauze, dirty gauze. And post-traumatic stress disorder turns into spiritual post-traumatic stress disorder, and so I carried through with me. It wasn't a punishment or anything like that. It was just karma around being overwhelmed in that space and having trauma and stress, and was just like, and I'll sidestep that this lifetime. We'll leave it to people who don't have that trauma, like Mandy and doctors and emergency practitioners and what have you. So, Drew, you probably have something very similar in your backdrop to make you veer away, or blood and guts and disaster, but yes, I appreciate the emergency workers significantly. They're just as important as the spiritual side, which is where I play. But yeah, it just kind of came in when I was a kid. It was always there. And when I got to be about 23, I was like, you know, I don't want to wait tables for the rest of my life and bartend. What is there for me? I know a desk job isn't it. I know a factory is not it. I know going to a bunch of schooling, traditional schooling, wasn't it. And when I was having these thoughts and asking the universe to help guide me, a commercial came on, and it was a commercial for a trade school that offered massage therapy, amongst other things, for training. And the light bulb just went off. And so I got into that space, and it just opened up hugely. So that's kind of where I came from.
That's, yeah. I've always envied people who knew, always knew what you wanted to do. I was one of those people who didn't know what I wanted to do, and I probably still don't know what I want to do, except that I enjoy what I'm doing, although I don't know what it is. So I said that sounds
good. That's how you find out what you want to do. That's how you find your purpose, by following what lights you up and what brings you joy, and then it opens up doors monetarily because you're exchanging positive energy. Follow what makes you happy.
See, yeah, that's why having a spiritual, that's why having a coach is good, because you just took something that sounded hopelessly confusing and made it sound like I'm on the path. You go.
You absolutely are, because you are.
That is so cool. Thank you. See, that's what we all need. I like the way Jenny said, that you appreciate them significantly. Speaking of first responders, I appreciate coaching significantly, because it does, we all need a little, you know, we need some guidance. We do sometimes. I mean, even the smartest people have questions, and, you know, we face different crossroads in life, and it's like, oh my gosh, what should I do? We want to make the best decisions. We want to, you know, it doesn't help. It's not a badge of shame to get some help. So
no way. Think of, like, some of the greatest people in history. They've all had advisors and counsels. And if you're, you know, if you were a king or something, you had tons of people who were advising you and helping you. Like, having guidance and needing that, and, you know, it's ultimately you listen to your higher self and your inner self, but, like, having that little bit of help, and especially a supporter and a cheerleader and somebody who's kind of a teacher all in one, like, it just makes things a whole lot easier for everybody. So, and it's not a foreign concept. We've kind of made it foreign over the past couple decades, just because we're so, like, do it on our own. We're bringing it back. It's okay.
Counsel and advisors. That is such a good way to look at it. It's like, you know what? It's so royal to have counsel, because you're a king and you're a queen, and you should have counsel and advisors. Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it. It's not like you're a raggedy person and need some help. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jenny.
As you can see, it is a brilliant. I'm seeing all these cool scenarios play out where kings absolutely, just like the president or president of a business, they've got all kinds of people they refer to make their decisions. And it's very helpful. Sometimes you need guidance more in certain parts of your life than others. So just because you're getting help at like 25, you might go through a flush where you don't need the assistance and pop back in and need some assistance at 40. So we're just here when you need us. You simply just call and reach out, and we're available. And I know hundreds of healers who are just ecstatic to be able to help people and have an open heart and have the best intentions. So we're here. You just simply reach out. And it has. Mandy touched on it a little bit. Society kind of, they frown upon needing help and any assistance. They think it's a sign of weakness when really the weakness is covering it up and denying yourself. So being able to be like, hey, I'm experiencing depression. I want to get some help from this. And maybe you'll see a nutritionist because it's partially diet, and then you'll get maybe a good little walking routine to move your body a little more. You know, it's just someone to coach you and help hold space for you so you can be the better version of you. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's everything good with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is also, like you said, we moved away from it. There's been like some negative connotation or just an attachment to it. And it's not a negative concept. And another part of it that's negative is that it's a burden to help others. Oh, my God, you guys need help. Ugh, I'm helping you. Ugh, you should help yourself. And it's like, that's not the way it is. The way it is that the more that you give, the more that you get, like healers and people, it's like love. The more love you spread out there, the more you have inside of you. So I'm not sure, but I imagine that as you guys help others and you see others, you know, thrive and flourish as a result of just some of the assistance that you give and the efforts that they make, doesn't that make you feel good also?
Mm-hmm. It does. And it offers, the thing with it is it's become, you know, giving and receiving is an energy exchange. And we, in order to be functioning at our most optimal level, we need to give and receive all sorts of energies, not just money. And we've become such a monetary society where we've forgotten how good it feels to help somebody out. And then you get this good feeling you did a good job. And we feel that innately, in our bones, in our guts, nobody can deny it because everybody's no, you know what? Even if I didn't feel like helping somebody this day, after I did it, I felt a lot better and they really needed me. And you know what? That was a good thing. And because we've blocked that off, it's created this really stagnant energy. And that's part of what feeds into our entire energetic system being out of balance. And what Jenny and I are always talking about with the heart ego being below the heart energy being below the ego energy, because a lot of it has to do with giving and receiving. And people don't even know how to take compliments anymore. There's so much that goes into it because we've created such a block around it. And I think a lot of what Jenny and I are doing and talking about is opening up people's eyes to that and how to do that within yourself and then give it to others.
And when you talk about you and Jenny and what you guys do, it's what you do professionally. And your services can be accessed. You know, listeners can access you guys through your websites, Facebook, and email. The links are posted on our Blog Talk Radio page, blogtalkradio.com/DPR presents. And you can there's a link to Mandy Elam's Facebook and email and Jenny McDaniel's Facebook and email. Additionally, on Thursdays, I think it's Thursday. Yeah, Thursday at 9 o'clock, there's a show that you guys have together, The Alchemy Sisters, where you talk about, you know, a little bit more specific topics and get deeper. So people can, it's almost like having a little workshop. You guys can just tune in and learn and grow. And we have a caller that's been on hold for a bit. She's waiting to connect with you guys. So let's put some of this healing and helping, put it in effect right now. We got our first caller, she's number one. Her name's Annette, and she is ready to rock and roll. Hi, Annette.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Me? Oh, I'm great, thanks.
Yeah, you.
You're live with the. You're live with Mandy
and
Jenny.
Were you in shock?
Yeah, nobody cares about old Drew. Yeah.
I care about.
But thank you,
Drew,
for asking. Thank you.
Hi, Annette. Welcome.
Hi, ladies. How are you tonight or today?
Good.
How are you?
Good. I'm good. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a little embarrassed to speak about what I'm. I did have something that I want to talk about, but then I'm like, maybe I should mention this, and maybe, you know, the ladies can help me heal this. I'm noticing that I'm questioning my attractiveness and my sexiness as I'm getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say that my soul and my spirit is young, but my
mm-hmm.
age is saying that you're not young.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm
yes,
saying?
I do. I know.
Because
know
I still see myself as a
stuff.
vibrant woman.
But
I don't look my age whatsoever. I don't look my age at all. But I can't.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
Or I don't feel comfortable. I think this is part of what it is really showing my goods. Meaning, you know, showing off my breasts, showing off my booty, showing off my body.
May I ask you what's making you feel uncomfortable about that? Is it coming from with you, or is it more what you're worried about other people will think and say?
I think it's coming more. I know this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. I feel like I'm in some type of competition with
okay.
the younger girls at work.
Okay.
And that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
We're at two different points within our lives, and I can't put my stuff out there like maybe I could when I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm getting.
But it doesn't
yeah,
make me
laughing.
Less of an attractive woman.
Of course not. And I'm getting tons of
what's
spirit.
The, what is the.
In. Yeah,
I was going to ask.
I think
like, what?
Go ahead and hit on it. Oh, what? Sorry, Drew.
I was going to ask, what is the specific question? Like, I can relate because, you know. But I was going to say, like, is there a specific question? Like, this is how you feel.
Well, I think we got it. I think we got it.
You got it?
Bit. Is it
yeah.
a
yeah.
Start,
yeah.
Do you want us to let you off the hook a little and then start talking?
Yeah, please.
Do you want to ask us a specific question?
No, let me off the hook.
You got it, girl. All right. Jenny, I think you should
see,
tell
I love
what
it.
You were.
They got my back. They got my back.
Yeah, it's part of the feminine. We got it.
And I love it.
And then I can let you know what I was getting on.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm totally picking up what you're laying down, and your spirit guides are just guiding me with some really good information for you. And we're going to start from one of the first things you said and work our way in. And you very honestly, so don't feel bad about this. This is just going to add more fuel to the ego. But you were honest and said, you know, I'm a little embarrassed to even bring this up. So we're going to start there. You should never be embarrassed for having something come up. It's the only way we can heal it. At the beginning of the show, we talked about people have embarrassments around needing emotional health or psychological health or physical help or what have you. So
yes.
This is very common that the ego, it's a trick that the ego does to us to get us to stay
wow.
stagnant, to get us to trigger. So if you can
yes.
replace that embarrassment with openness and like honesty, and which you did, so very, very good. But mm-hmm. just try to alchemize that embarrassment into curiosity. Hence, you have on
curiosity.
Somebody you're calling in and having us help you look at it, or
yes.
you know, just kind of be objective to it and be like, oh, this is coming
yes.
up. Let's take a look, which is what you're doing. So what they're saying is, well, the reason you feel so bright and lively is they're showing me a lot of your past lives and your old soulness. So what they're saying is, on a deep, deep level, you know that you're forever young or forever, you know, the same or whatever, because your higher self or your spirit body, let's call it, in the non-physical, knows
yes.
forever. And it doesn't age. It only gets wisdom. And we have chosen, by the way, we picked this gig to incarnate into a physical realm where our bodies age. Now, it's a psychological thing because we feel one way. And we're looking
mm-hmm.
another, so it's a mind jack, you know, jacks with the mind
yes.
a little bit.
Yes.
And I read a really funny bumper sticker on a car. It says, "Getting old isn't for wussies." Now they were probably talking about the physical ailments that go along, you know, like the aches and pains, but it's psychological too. I see it all the time in older gentlemen that I massage, and they're like, you know, I used to be able to chop wood all day long, and now I can't, and I feel like a failure. And I'm like, no, you just are, you know, going into a different phase of your life where it's requiring you to lean more into your mind and entertain yourself
mm-hmm.
or give yourself you know, acceptance in another way. The physical body
yes.
wears out, and it does. It makes you kind of trip in your
yes.
mind a little bit, and that's just normal. We ask for that. We wouldn't come here to this physical dimension if we weren't interested with wrestling with that. So,
yes
you're very
yes.
systematic on hitting into the point where they're at those younger girls are at a different phase in their life.
Exactly.
You've heard this theory, the older the berry, the sweeter the wine. Well, this is there's truth to this, where we become wisdomatic and goddesses and high priestesses the older we get.
Yes.
We don't have that at 20.
Yes.
I mean, we might have pieces and parts of it, but, you know,
that's
we
true.
Have our – it's perks when we get older. We get that wisdom. We get that understanding. We get freedom from maybe
yes.
things that bothered us in our 20s.
Yes.
We start to feel. So
yes.
You're dealing with what is – very, very commonly, you know, the ego is kind of saying you should be something and you're not, when you can just quiet that ego down and be like, hey, I know I don't
yes.
look like I'm 25 because I'm not, because I have, you know, age and wisdom, and I'm more than
yes.
that. Not that we're better when
yeah.
we're older, but it's, you know, but it's just different. It's a different space. So you're absolutely looking at this, isn't what they're calling it. We're going to go into your solar plexus, right in the center of your stomach, that has everything to do with self-worth and self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that jealousy never came out before until a certain
mm-hmm.
situation presented itself. Like you started to feel
yes.
a little older and you're noticing these
yes.
things. This is how healing happens. It doesn't come in all in one. It trickles in and
yes.
certain things move
yes.
to allow feeling in, and you're being very wisdomatic to look at it and say, wow, I'm not a jealous individual. I don't like how this feels because it is an ego
like,
energy.
Yes.
It's not accepted.
Yes.
Of. And I want to do something about it. And this is how we do it. We present it. We talk about it. It gets out of our throat chakra. We put, you know, we feel heard. And we take a look at it objectively and how we can manage this problem, because that's what it is. Like if your furnace
mm-hmm.
breaks down, you get with your roommates or partner or whatever and say, okay, this is what we need to do to make this work. It's just a plan, a game plan.
Yes.
And, of course, plans always don't work out exactly how we want, but at least we have an idea of where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you're getting an opportunity to heal or get freedom from the ego energy
yes.
of jealousy. And it's
yes.
going to take a little, you know, takes a little time to work on these things, either inside of ourselves and our past lives and our minds and our bodies. It's in there, you know, and it's rearing its head simply so you can understand that there's maybe something you could go ahead and look at here. Patch up, heal up,
yes.
look at.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, this is just
because,
your spiritual path.
Because what I'm noticing is that very young men in their 20s, mid-20s, late-20s, that are attracted to me.
Mm-hmm. You're
and, yeah, see, I don't even want to labor myself like that because it's
you
like...
You don't have to.
Yeah, that's
you know
not
what
your
I mean?
Fault.
It's like, yeah,
that's,
it's
yeah.
like,
don't
it's,
take
I
that
feel
on.
More, actually, I don't. I feel more vibrant and I feel more alive and even when I look at myself, I'm like, damn, I'm pretty sexy. I'm like sexier now than when I was in my 20s. And it's like I'm turning the heads of like 20-something-year-olds and even 30, definitely 20-something-year-old. I mean, I'm flirting and just having, and they're just, I mean, they're just falling. I mean, I can't explain it. But there's a part of me that's like, this is cute. But I can't go there.
Right. Jenny, do you mind if I hop in for a minute? So I think this niggling within you is, it's like, it's not like you were phrasing it as competing earlier with like the younger women, mm-hmm. but it's more just like trying to get back in the game because you put yourself on the sidelines because you got to a certain age and you got to a certain point where it's not, you know, necessarily socially acceptable to be, you know, rocking your feminine because it hasn't been done before. And
yeah.
at this time in history, we need you. The young women of this country need more and more women to step into a matriarchal role and let them know that aging is beautiful and that your sexuality is really important. And in fact, it's one of the biggest connections, like orgasmic energy and ecstasy are one of the biggest connections you can ride to connect with the divine.
Yes.
And it's really important.
Yes.
And there's young men, they're attracted to you because you know what you want and you're set in your ways and you have wisdom to share with them. So it's not necessarily that, you know, you have to like date them or anything like that. It's just that you have knowledge and things to pass on to them. And it sets an example for what to look for. You know, we need set examples for younger women and it's important.
So I couldn't sleep with them.
I mean, if you want to, I mean, that's up to you. That's up to you. I'm just saying what the difference is and why they're attracted to you, because you're probably far more confident and able to talk to them and you have a lot more knowledge and wisdom and you're not as embarrassed because you've been doing this for however long you've been doing it, you know?
True. Very true.
And I
would really like for you ladies to kind of look at this for me. There has been someone at work that I'm not sure what his attraction is to me.
That's segueing into what I was just going to talk about.
I don't want to be anybody's
really,
mother.
Well, see, and that's
say,
the boundary. For
you don't want to be
what
his mother.
Yes, that's a brilliant way to kind of compartmentalize it. Like, I know I don't want to be in, unless it's just fun and you're having drinks and enjoying each other or whatever, I don't want that. For a long-lasting relationship. So you're being honest with yourself. And what I'm getting from this gentleman at work is he's coming really deep into his awareness of sexuality, and he's just playing around because he's in his 20s or whatever, you know, where he's kind of just feeling the field out, so to speak. And this is a great compliment to you, and you can just take it like that if there's no interest there. You can just take it as like a little niche in your belt loop, you know, your belt there where you're like, I still got it, and that's good for your ego, and it's good for healing and feeling your sexuality and your femininity. But what he's doing is he's starting to form ideas of what he's looking for. So he might not get married or get into a serious, serious relationship for however long it is that he, you know, is looking. But he's setting up his future. And that's a great compliment to you, saying, I want a woman like that, who knows her shit, who holds herself in a certain way, doesn't have these insecurities these 20-year-old girls have. So he's setting him up. He's learning.
I never thought
like
that.
And you're showing him.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
No, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I never saw it like that. Because in my mind, I'm like, what the hell would a 26-year-old be attracted? What is it? I was like, trust me, don't even look at me as your mother. This is what I'm saying to myself.
Mm-hmm. No, he's starting to form in his mind what he'd like to have in his life, what kind of energy that looks like. And that's brilliant that he's doing that and deciphering what is attractive to him, what he's going to look for in a
mate,
what he does like, what he doesn't like.
Someone like me and my energy?
Yeah, no, he's seeing you be put together. And he's wanting to be with a woman who's put together. Is that you? No, there's probably too big of an age gap and you're not into it. But what he's doing is he's just setting up the blueprints of what he wants to frequency or manifest into his life. a version of you. You have so many qualities. And this is really smart for people, not even just men, but people to look at and be honest with themselves and start forming that blueprint or that lineup of what they're looking for. And then they're one step closer to getting it. And you can't get it until you start thinking about it, hashing it out. And he might not even know he's doing it, but when I'm looking at it from a psychic level, he's absolutely forming thoughts and manifesting what he would like in a partner. And so his partner will end up being, you know, probably younger, but he'll be looking for these qualities that exist in her too. And people do it with their mothers. Maybe they really appreciate their mother's compassion and love and acceptance, and they're, you know, they carry that into their adulthood and say, I want to find more of this too, or I like this, or I'm used to this, or I like it, or it's a good quality, or my mom works really hard, I want a good hard-working woman too, you know. And you start this at a very young age, and it gets really intense in your 20s, you know, when you start to really put yourself out there in a serious way of maybe a life partner or twin flame or soulmate. And it's just all chiseling away, understanding who we are, because very often we go into relationships without understanding who we are, and then we get mad at our partner because they're not giving us what we need in our own selves.
That's true.
This is really brilliant on his end. And to look at that, and it'll be really brilliant for you just to take it, for you to take it as a compliment, for you to be like, all right, I will set the stage for how women could be. I'll set the stage for what men should look for. I'll set that stage. Doesn't mean I have to involve myself in it personally, but I'm teaching without even knowing. I'm teaching and I'm setting the standard. And other women, those young women, will start looking at that and say, that's attractive to men. They like it when you have your shit together, or maybe, you know, some men like that. I don't know what all men like. But, you know, then the women start to learn from you too and say, you know what? I'd like to possess some of those properties. I'd like to have that confidence and that wisdom and that security. And so you're just teaching everyone around you, and then you're getting lessons too, which is just acceptance and considering it a compliment as opposed to something negative or bad. And you can keep, you know, that just does healing for you and your chakra.
See, I never saw it like that. I'm thinking, you know, you need to be running off these little hotties here. You know, my playground is very different than your playground. You know what I mean? It's like, I just couldn't. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's very attractive. Don't get me wrong. He's very attractive, and there is that that curiosity and that sexual energy between us. I mean, there's no mistaking it. And for me, you know, I'm getting the young girls, and they're looking at me like, you know, what has she got that we haven't gotten? Why are you not paying attention to us? Mm-hmm. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to show our you know, we're going to dress a little more provocative because we want your attention.
They're barking up the wrong tree. In attempts to get what you have, they're trying to compensate in other ways because they don't have the age and the wisdom. They've probably got their own level of wisdom and understanding, which is brilliant, which is right where they should be at their age. But they are, and that's you're setting the standards. And after they get past that whole physical, I can use my hips to get whoever I want, after they move past that,
I mean,
that's
if you
difficult.
Could see
that's
how
not as solid.
If you could see how some of them are coming in dressing. I mean, their nipples are coming through their shirt, and, you know, the pants are three times tighter.
You don't have pictures, do you? No, I'm just kidding. But what I want to do is
Sorry.
No, that's perfect. That was great. That was for me. That was for my karma, I guess.
But what
I want to do is I want to thank you, Annette, for being our first caller. We have some more calls.
Sorry, ladies. Thank you.
I hope that everything.
Best of luck to you.
We appreciate you. Thank you. And she lit it up. Woo! That brought the whole show.
Yes, she did.
Set it on fire right there. That was a lot of passion and energy jumping off. Woo! I had a whole lot I could have said, but I really like what you guys said, and that, you know, and a lot of that made sense to me. Because, you know, I'm an older guy, and it's like I had to get some peace with, hey, you know what, I'm not in that realm anymore, so I'm really not competing with them. I play basketball with the kids. I'm their dad's age. It's like, they're like, oh, I can do this, I can do that. I say, I can beat your dad, though. So I stay in my lane. And And I appreciate what I got, because you get something from staying alive for a long time. You get a lot of wisdom and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to be me today. You guys share some really good stuff. We do have some more callers. Additionally, I do want us again want to remind you that you can connect with Jenny McDaniel on Facebook and on email. You can email her, and you guys can work at things out, have like private sessions. Same thing for Mandy Elam. And the links, the information, the contact information is at Blog Talk Radio, right here on our show page, DPR Presents. But in case you are slow getting there, on Facebook, it's Mandy, M-A-N-D-E-E, dot Elam, E-L-A-M, one? Yeah, just search that on Facebook. And search Jenny McDaniel on Facebook, J-E-N-N-I-E, M-C-D-A-N-I-E-L. I can give you their email addresses. Are you ready for that? Amanda, A-M-A-N-D-A. Why am I spelling stuff? People can spell. Elam, E-L-A-M-3-1 at Gmail. And Jenny McDaniel, exactly the way it sounds, jenny.mcdaniel@gmail.com. Connect with those ladies. Even if you just message them and say, hey, I heard you on the show and you guys sound so awesome and I love you. Say that kind of, stuff is good, you know. And
yeah.
Today, before we go, we have a special topic. Not that we're leaving right now, but we want to take a call, and among other things, we also want to touch on something. We talked about it before the show, karma. We want to talk about what it really is, because a lot of people think it's something, and it may or may not even be that, because I know what I think it is probably not that. And also twin flames. Now, that is something I really want to talk about, because I think I know what it is, but I probably just only have a tip of the iceberg. So I'm excited about bringing up those topics. This was a commercial. So now we're back. Ladies, ready to take on another caller? We're going to limit it to 5 minutes, though. Is that okay?
Sure. Let's do it.
Because we can get out of control with these calls. Oh, my gee. Hold on. Caller from 517. Can you hear us?
Yes.
What's your name, caller?
Paris.
Harris, how you doing?
Hi,
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Hi, how y'all doing?
Good. Welcome.
How about you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
So I kind of cut in to the show. I don't know what the topic was. I just kind of just chimed in 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what we do on this show is, We have a couple of healers that are in the studio, and as you saw with the last caller, she had a question. She wanted to, you know, have some feedback from our healers, and also we are going to be bringing up the topic of karma and twin flames, and that's something I posted on social media that we're going to talk about. Now, I don't know if you want to have if you have a question that you want to ask the ladies, they can take a look at, you know, whatever they take a look at and tell you what, you know, what they tell you. It's like a free psychic reading, or if you want to join us in a conversation on karma and twin flames. What's your preference?
Okay, you said they were healers, and we're talking about relationships and stuff. So I want to know, like, any advice you have for a person that's recently divorced.
I can go into that. I'll start here. And your spirit guides are stepping forward, and they're showing a mending of your heart chakra. So we're just going to put some energy while we communicate around your heart chakra and the healing and the moving past and the understanding. So my best information is to really take a look at some emotions and feelings that are coming up. And you may have already started doing this, and you can look at it deeper and deeper the longer you look. But really allowing yourself, like some people, depending on what your relationship was like, I'm not saying a ton of details right now with the woman, but oftentimes we get post-traumatic stress disorder in relationships. So whether it's a lot of arguing or butting heads or maybe cheating or whatever comes up, we have to usually, and this is almost with 100% of relationships, at the end of it do some personal growth and learning so we don't carry that into next relationships. So you can, is you know, you're clearly getting a divorce, so that relationship didn't work out. But what you can do is you can try to be as objective as you can with holding your emotion back. And not holding your emotion back by not allowing yourself to feel, but just looking at it more objectively and saying, were there some patterns of issues she had with me and how important were they? So if she just kind of lost her shit every once in a while, if you left your socks around, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if she said things like, you're not emotionally available or whatever she might say, and I'm not getting a ton of details, but that's just an example. And you can start looking at patterns and where you can do some nips and tucks or understanding or reaching in and healing that space. So whether it's just, I don't need to do what she expected of me, that's my healing, or maybe there is something to what she was saying and taking little pieces of it and, you know, just nibbling on it every once in a while. So self-healing is going to be really important. And when you clear that space, the universe, and if you want to get into a relationship in the future, which your spirit guides are kind of shaking their head like, yes, that's of interest to him. He wants to find a partner, a soulmate, a twin flame, his equal. Very common to want to find that in this existence. But they're saying clearing and moving any of the stagnant energy, so sadness, depression, you know, whatever those feelings that are coming up, and they'll be different each day, looking at those, clearing those, and then that's going to open up the floodgates for more manifestation of potential partners. So do the self-healing. The next step is the universe starts giving you what you want, and it'll start giving you maybe what you want before you do the clearing, and you can be the determiner of if you're ready to date or move into that space. But they're saying take it nice and light. They're saying take it slow, you know, really get to know people and really get to understand them and learn from them and really, you know, take a look at how they make you respond. Does this person give me anxiety? What's that? Does this person make me feel really comfortable? That's nice, you know, so really kind of taking your time and being honest with yourself and maybe even making a list of things that you're looking for in a partner. Some people are loyalty and fidelity, you know, some honesty are usually sitting at the top there. So, you know, you can start voicing, you can actually physically say it, vocally say it, and then you can write it down. And that is what the universe understands. We can say a lot of things in the universe doesn't really hear English, but the feeling and the desire is when the universe starts to stir and start manifesting for you things you desire. So making a list, being honest with yourself of what you'd like, taking your time and really getting to know these people and understand them, because they're showing in the next like few months there's going to be some potential dating if you decide to do that, if you're ready for that. And you're really going to be exposed to some really cool people. And they're just saying be really honest with yourself of, you know, what you want. Don't settle. You know, desire whatever quality you like in a woman and keep that in the forefront, and you'll just keep bringing that type of person in. So they're showing not a very long wait at all before you're in if you'd like. Kind of a twin flame kind of relationship. It just looks like a little processing under, you know, moving past, getting over the divorce and doing some personal healing, and then you'll pop right into that manifestation space, bringing in what you want. They're saying you're going to come at it from a lot different angle than when you married your ex-wife. They're saying that you're a totally different person. You're going to process things differently. You have a whole other list of things that are maybe more important to you. And use that relationship as a guideline. Take the negative things and say, I don't really want that in my new relationship. I'd like this. And then, you know, place out the personality types or, you know, even physical body or types or psychological spaces. Usually emotional maturity is at the top of the list, too. So are you picking anything up, Mandy?
Very much all the same things that you said. I see a lot of, like, healing there and maybe a lot of, like, looking into yourself and exactly what Jenny was saying, making lists about what you want and what you don't want, but also do that within your own person and, like, really make sure that if there's any pieces that are need some attention within you, that you really try to acknowledge them and heal them as much as you can before hopping into another relationship. And
all
that's
right.
About it.
Well, that sounds
you
good. I'm gonna try
the
list.
The next one.
What happened?
Oh, I just said, you know, we all want to try to be a better version of ourselves for our next relationship and learn and grow, you know, and make sure you just take the time to do that. Life gets crazy busy and it's hard to.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That makes
sense.
Yeah,
you guys kind of touched on a little bit what I'm going through right now. And I appreciate any advice that I can get.
Wonderful.
Awesome. Excellent. Excellent. Awesome. And, all right, so we appreciate you calling in, Paris. We're going to jump into, we're going to do a quick commercial, and then we're going to go into our last segment where we talk about karma and twin flames. I'm going to place you on hold real quick. That was such awesomeness, you know. I cannot say enough about the value of life coaching, of just coaching, advisor, counsel, you know, because who the hell knows everything? And especially, like, I like to pride myself in being a logical, sensible person, but as soon as my emotions get screwed up, then my logic starts to not be as trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a typical thing, or is it just a Drew thing? Because that's
a human. Yeah,
that is true for me. Mess with my emotions, and I start thinking real. My clarity gets lost. So people are there to say, "Hey, that I know that sounds good, Drew, but it's probably not a good idea. So don't do that." Yeah, because when I get out of a relationship right away, I just want to jump in another one. What do they say? The best way to get over somebody is to get under somebody else. That is not even like a good idea, but it sounds good.
Yeah,
it sounds good in the moment, but it's so not good. Like, it's, yeah. So I love what you guys said, and I appreciate you guys. You guys, Jenny's been helping me for so many years. I probably owe her $8 million, but I'm just going to give her my smile. So those are truths. A lot of times the truth is universal, but it helps when it's real specific for a person. So it's good that people can call in and connect with you and hear what they need to hear so that they can grow. And look at that. And the price is right because it was totally free today. So let's do this karma thing. Karma. So karma is, I'm going to tell you what I think it is, and then you guys can help me get a better understanding, because I'm going to pretend like I'm Joe Average. So karma is, if I go out here and I do nice stuff to people, then I'm going to get blessed and nice things are going to happen to me. So I'm going to do nice stuff just so I can get nice stuff to happen to me. That's karma, right?
Well, it can be. It's a basic breakdown of it. I'd say that's a good start, but inside of that description of karma, I'm looking and seeing some karmic issues and stuff to look at. So if we do things only to get things in return, it's not coming from a organic, authentic, heartful place. It might get us places and it might help us get to where we need to go, but doing something to get something in return is usually not the best angle to come at things. But yes, what you put out, you get back. What you reap, you sow. And sometimes it's delayed. So for example, let's just use Hitler, someone extreme, so we can get the point across. When he was in his physical form, he was a monster. He thought it was a good idea to wipe out races of people. Well, that's not a good idea. And he didn't get a lot of negative karma kickback in this life because of that, because it just didn't come through. I'm sure he had some crappy things happen to him and some understanding come through, but he didn't get his karma from in that lifetime from doing those terrible things. So now let me kind of explain. When we drop our bodies and we go back to where we come from, let's just call it the non-physical or heaven, when we get back there, we're in our higher self, which is like 99.999% heart energy, and we start to scratch our head. We don't really have a head there, but I'm just speaking metaphorically, and say, wow, I really did not do a lot of hurtful things in that life. In fact, I was really detrimental, and I'm going to teach myself. This is not God or the universe telling him to do it. This is him and his own higher self saying, I don't like what I did to those people. I'm going to incarnate to experience pain so I can understand fully what I did to these people and feel it and go through it and experience it. So that's karma too, where we become more aware, of course, when we drop our body and then set up learning experiences for ourselves to feel that pain that we cause other people. And oftentimes, you know, it might take one lifetime, it might take many, but we're trying to neutralize that effect. So take something bad and turn it to good, alchemize. So we often don't see that path until we get into the non-physical, where our ego is almost non-existent and we become more objective. So our emotions aren't running the roost anymore, you know, or our ego. So that's my description of karma. But so yeah, you were on the right path there.
Except for the part where the motivation. Like, if I'm just being nice just so I can benefit, then that's that's not the right way to do it.
Everything comes back to intention always. Yeah.
What if I wish, like, I see somebody do something bad, and I'm like Hitler, or I'm not going to say Hitler, like, say, my baby mama, oh, she did something bad. I hope karma come back and smack her upside the head. Me wishing that will bring some bad karma to me, huh?
Potentially.
Correct.
Or no.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I need to wish good on people that no matter what?
Yes. Yeah.
I was just going to say, it's going to lead right back into you, but Jenny really helped me to understand a lot of karma and things like that when I was, like, in a past relationship and dealing with some things, and then when I was a social worker, and I had to see a lot of things, and I'm like, man, like, talk about not fair. Like, I've had some things that aren't fair happen to me and whatever, but, like, I'm a survivor, I'm fine. But, like, when you see kids involved or different things, or when you see people getting away with crimes that shouldn't have been, or innocent people locked up in jail and shouldn't be there, where that all comes in. And Jenny really helped me to understand that by explaining how, you know, in different lifetimes, okay, well, that person who, you know, might be in jail right now for something they didn't do, they may have done something in a past life. And really, you know, we need to kind of just leave it up to the universe and stay on our own paths and, like, become the best versions of ourselves and do good authentically because we want to, as opposed to doing things in spite of an action that somebody else did, because it's just going to interfere with our lessons and our karma. Does that sound right, Jenny?
Brilliant, Mandy. That's really, really quite brilliant. Yes.
Brilliant, ladies. Mm. So
karma,
I'm just trying to write this
good.
Down.
Karma can be
good,
too. It can be, you know, how some people seem to just come in just, you know, with fire under them, and they're just moving through things, and they're making things look easy. That could be good karma. It's not always negative. I have a karma of often helping other people and holding space and being available to people, and that's brought me good feelings and good karma. Things open up for me. Things go my way sometimes. I start to reap the benefits of holding that space authentically. So it can be good karma, too. There's a little saying that says, karma's only a bitch if you are, you know.
Somebody said that, okay, so that's not karma. That's like good, the sun shines and the rain falls on everybody. Okay. And it's like, okay, so what if it isn't? What if it isn't karma? What if it's whatever you want to call it? Is it calling it karma and holding ourselves to some standard or some principle that says if we are nice and kind and good to others, that it only benefits us? That's, you know, even if you can't prove it scientifically, it's still a good approach to life anyway. Does that make sense? Anything that brings out the best in people.
Yeah, it's and I see it with people who, you've heard of people being martyrs, right? They're, I can't take care of myself because I'm too busy taking care of other people. Well, they're thinking that they're going to get a lot of positive kickbacks, but really they're not being heartful to themselves. They're making themselves too thin or not drawing boundaries, healthy boundaries. So oftentimes it can get confusing, and you can see it in religions and just people across the board, where they become a martyr and don't have good boundaries and put themselves in the ground with everybody's needs and desires, and they're thinking that's getting them ahead, but really the lesson is to put up, you know, boundaries, to love yourself, to give yourself the same thing that you give to other people. So it can get confusing in that space where if I do a good deed and I constantly keep doing them and I put myself on the back burner, that will get me ahead. Well, that's not the case 90% of the time. It's more of a, you know, doing things authentically and also giving it back to ourselves. So whatever you do for other people, giving back to yourself is very important. People don't think like that, especially women. We're often told if you're not cooking or taking care of the kids or working, well, that's just basically what you have to do. No, that's not true. You can get help. Your partner can help you. You can set up boundaries. Everyone cooks a night in the week, you know, or, you know, putting up healthy boundaries so that you can have some downtime too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have some. Yeah. Yeah. What about? Wait. I'm trying to keep an eye on the clock because we only have 6 minutes to go. What about? So, twin flames. When you say twin flame, I think of soulmates. I think of soulmate deluxe. Like there's soulmates, and then there's like super duper duper, super soulmates. And what I think a soulmate is like the most perfect love of your life. You know, like in the romantic mm-hmm. movies and stuff. Is that what this is or no?
I'm gonna let Jenny totally talk about this, but I kind of thought the same thing too. And like, you know, you always hear like as a kid growing up, especially like a girl, like, oh, you're gonna meet your soulmate one day, and you're gonna be like perfect matches for each other, blah blah blah. And as I've grown and I've come to realize, like, I'm like, I don't know. I've met certain people that I find are my soulmates, and all of my best girlfriends I now call my soul sisters, because every time I've like met any of them, it's been at some like new and different chapter in my life when like I needed like a best girlfriend around, and we had this like really instant connection, and like we'd known each other forever. And you know, through exploring with Jenny in past lives, I found out many of my soul sisters, like, we've had many past lives. And then I'm like, well, what about like who I'm dating, and you know, and all of that. And and I started getting introduced to this twin flame realm, and like the twin flame is really your like counterpart, and you don't always get them in every single lifetime, depending on what your karma is, or you do, and they might not always show up as like your warrior lover and like your other half. You might like have them, you know, earlier in a lifetime just for like a brief moment because you're learning different things karmically. So Jenny can explain more about that part, but I used to think that too, Drew.
Yeah, and I'm going to pick up where you left off there, Mandy, and say, yes, we have this fairy tale. TV's been a big contributor to this, of the perfect relationship has no flaws or problems. There couldn't be a further truth. It's just not realistic, nor is it growthful to not have any conflict. Means there's no growth. Twin flames, I always like to call them twin flame potentials, because like Mandy said, you could run across a twin flame and they're just not ready to settle down, or maybe you're not, or there's too many egoic issues that need to be healed before that could merge and mesh. So I've dated several twin flames, they're soulmates. I like to use the words interchangeable. I think they are so similar in frequency, I can hardly decipher them because they're so similar, so let's just use twin flame. I've met several mm-hmm. twin flames, but they were twin flame potentials. Were they willing to put down their ego to hash out issues with me that are obviously going to be present in any situation, even just friendships that aren't intimate? So we get all these potentials or possibilities, and there's this kind of dogmatic theory around twin flames that there's only one, and you only get one opportunity, and I don't see that to be truth, and I also see that it does some dampening things to people where they believe that there's only one twin flame for them, and they pine over that individual if it doesn't work out for the rest of their life, messing with their potential other mm-hmm. twin flame connections. So I like to take out the dogma in everything I do. It makes my skin crawl. I don't like dogma. There's no one way to do anything, and I don't care if people say that there is, that's fine. They can be in that dogmatic space, but it does not resonate with me. So I open it up to twin flame potential. You're getting opportunities to connect and heal and grow with somebody if both egos can sit down most of the time. And that's the intention of a relationship or an intimate relationship or a twin flame relationship, is to get these triggers out of us so we can heal them. And oftentimes, more than not, people get the trigger and blame their partner and say, change so I don't feel this. Well, that could be part of the answer, but the real answer is, why am I triggering around this, and what can I heal in myself to get freedom? So the person's offering you an opportunity, and if you take it, and that's the spiritual route, you can start to do some healing. But if you constantly blame the other partner, that's just never going to work out, especially if the other partner's a high-vibed individual or an old soul, because they're looking for their twin flame too, and that means working together, moving past things together. And a relationship shouldn't be mostly stress and anxiety, but there's going to be some there. And the more ease and grace we use while being presented in these with these obstacles is the golden nuggets of spirituality, and it's healing, and it gives us freedom, and we start clearing karma and patterns. So it's deep and heavy. So, you know, we can say we want our twin flame, but when we're presented, usually we try to run the other way really quickly because it's triggering us. It's bringing up feelings that we didn't know were there, or we did know they were there, but they weren't as bold as when you got into the relationship. So it's an opportunity for healing, and it's a really high-vibed union. It means you've met your match, you've met your equal. Someone is going as hard as you are at life, or, you know, going in a direction that you love. And twin flames don't have to be forever. People change. It can shift. So you could have a twin flame for several years, and then you guys grow apart, and you both bow out and give each other respect and props, and then you open up to a new potential. So it's not always a lifetime either.
So twin flames are not like the unicorns and rainbows all the time, and you can have twin flame burnout. Not that it really burns out, but that, you know, the time comes to let it go and move on.
Yeah.
So it's not, oh,
and
man, I like.
A lot of problems. Yeah, people stay in relationships way too long because we think we're supposed to, and, you know, you're bound in this union forever and ever until you die, no matter what happens. And it's like, actually, what if we're meant to fall in love more than once? And what if we happen to have a few twin flames here and we're meant to do different exciting things in each chapter? And, like, what if we just gave love and gratitude and respect to people, and, you know, before it gets all nasty and bad, and, you know, keep them as a friend or send them love and light? And, like, it doesn't have to be this big nasty thing that it always turns into when we're holding on to something that doesn't exist anymore.
Wow, that just killed. That just, like, expands. It takes us out of the confines. Like you said, take the dogma out. Yeah, so imagine you can have more than one twin flame at the same time. You can have a twin bonfire. Boy. That was just me making up stuff. Yeah, intense, the heat. So you guys are awesome, and an hour is never enough, of course. That's why we have another hour, and it's Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, the Alchemy Sisters. And, you know, one thing about that show that makes it so much cooler is that I'm not there interrupting with my silliness. But,
oh,
no, that's not what makes it better. It makes it better because it is better. They have special topics and special guests and everything cool. So hopefully you'll tune in to that show Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, the Alchemy Sisters, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Monday, 5 o'clock, we have a show. Sunday, 5 o'clock, we have a show. Wednesday, 10 o'clock p.m., we have a show. So go to our Blog Talk Radio page and follow us so you'll keep up to date on all our shows. And visit Mandy Elam and Jenny McDaniel on Facebook or email them. The information is located right here on Blog Talk Radio on the show page that you're listening to right now. And also, last thing you can do is go to your phone, go to the store, whatever the app store is, download whatever podcast, type in podcast, whichever one looks the coolest, download that, and then search DPR Presents, and all of our shows will be there for you. You can listen to them at any time, whenever you'd like, and you can resolve to call us and tell us how you feel about it. So that's the last thing from me. Bless you. Any last comments from you ladies?
No, thanks for having us. All the love and light.
Yeah. Love and light.
Yes, thank you, Drew. We appreciate you. Everyone have a good night.
Have a good night, everyone. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So let's spend it living and not just going through the motions. Sometimes we need to take a fresh new look at things in order to expand our horizons. This is Spirit.